much of anything tonight. This is a play night rather than anything. We began with an ephemeral section, which I believe is very important. And we've been in horary. Horary and events, but more horary than events, because the things that apply to horary also apply to events. The first thing we did is looked at different types of propositions and questions. And after that, what we did is we looked at all of the things that deny a question being answered or making accomplishment of the desired thing difficult. It was a night in the history of astrology. We went into a lot of things that historically have proven to be so. And we went through that very difficult process of location, locating who is who. After someone has been located, to have the, apart from the crisis charter, to reuse the crisis chart, it gets distributed such that if the question is about a friend, the friend is the 11th house in the crisis chart, but the ascendant of the friend is the 11th house, and so there's a distributed horoscope with the ascendant in the 11th house. Then we went into another form of location. We looked in terms of location, in terms of distance, and of place, and of different kinds of objects. And last time we ended up talking about location in time, long-term time, short-term time, things like that, symbolic time and direct time. Now that argue for success. This is the complement of that first one. When we talked about all the negatives, we're going to talk about all the things that argue for success tonight. And then we should know all of the horary astrology. And then next time what we will do is we will look at a number of horoscopes, horary horoscopes. And when we look at them, we will see, apply all of the things that we've learned, and then you'll all be horary astrologers, and you won't ever have to bother me with horary again. And then we go on to the last section, which will be about electional astrology, which is something that's much more dear to me. The only reason that I give this series of talks is to get to electional astrology. All right, the first major subdivision is conditions that indicate almost certain success. The first one is application. And application must, if it's going to be a sure thing, it must include at least two of the primes. And the definition of application is when two planets are approaching or applying culmination of an aspect. And the only aspects that count are conjunctions, trines, sextiles, squares, and oppositions. But there must be no other aspect or transiting aspect that culminates before the aspect in question culminates. Now the planets don't have to be an orb. Cannot apply separating aspects. You can only use applying aspects, but they can be as much as 15 degrees away from the culmination. And provided nothing happens in between, they are still applying. And when you come to an application, you have to see something that corresponds in the people that are located in those planets, such as if there's a negotiation between a buyer and a seller, that has to be corresponding. There has to be people between those two planets that are like the buyer and that are like the seller, or that are like the stance that they're taking in negotiation. Now, the ends of the two people do not necessarily have to be identical. People can come to an agreement about something, though each person is coming to the agreement for a different reason. fact, this is what happens with most negotiations. One of my favorite people in the world is Jimmy Carter. And he's worked on all kinds of negotiations, and this is precisely what he finds. He finds that people sometimes come to terms of agreement for very different reasons, and it is expedient for both of them to do so. And the same thing applies astrologically. Jimmy Carter knows what he's talking about. Now, if you want to think about whether a planet is in orb, if it's in orb, it's all the more certain. But there are different orbs that are given for horary astrology than for normal astrology. For the sun, there's an orb of 15 degrees. For the moon, there's an orb of 12 degrees. For Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars, the orb is 9 degrees. For Venus and Mercury, the orb is 7 degrees. And for the octaves, probably the orb is not, it's not given traditionally, but for the octaves, the orb should probably be somewhere between 3 to 6 degrees. Now, there are things that come up in applications, about the quality of applications. Sextiles, squares, and trines may not always act as we normally consider sextiles, squares, and trines to act. Sometimes sextiles act as squares. Sometimes squares act as trines, and sometimes trines act as squares. If there is a this works actually in natal astrology too. It's something that's, it solves a puzzle if you look at some charts and you can't figure out why some things are the way they are. If two planets are in a bare aspect, that is, there's no third planet involved with either of the other two, if that aspect is totally within signs of long ascension, the sextile will be like a square, and the square will be like a trine. But if it's totally within short ascension, then the trine will be like a square, and the square will be like a sextile.
So,
yes. Some signs take a longer time to rise, and sometimes some signs take a shorter time to rise. I don't have a chart for you available. I can get you a chart next time of what are long ascension and what are short ascension and what are the longest ascension. Like, for example, when you are near the cusp of Virgo and Libra, that is about the height of long ascension. They are going to, those two signs are going to stay in this, at the ascendant longer in terms of time than if you take at the opposite sign aside of the zodiac between Pisces and Aries. Those are signs that are going to stay at the ascendant for a shorter amount of time. It has to do with the obliquity of the obliquity of the Earth's axis. All right. The second thing that is almost sure to prove for success is what is called translation of light. A diller a dollar. Translation of light. Suppose two planets that you have located are separating. But there is a faster planet that aspects one and then the other. That faster planet re-brings together the two planets. Suppose they're separating from a trine. You would normally think, uh-oh, this is something that could have happened and it could have been beautiful, but it's too late now. But if a faster planet comes along and aspects one and then aspects the other, it re-brings on that trine. And usually, there is somebody who is an agent or a messenger who carries light or communicates something between the two parties. it's more likely to bring about accomplishment if there's more than one prime involved. The translation of light works between any two planets in a separating aspect if the conditions are right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that a horary question is going to come out, is going to be answered as a consequence of it. If there's still a little bit of orb between the two separating planets and there is a translation, that is a greater likelihood yet. If there is intervening activity between the translation of light, suppose the faster moving planet touches a square to one and then it comes to a trine of the other, but before it comes to the trine of another, some other kind of aspect comes to that second planet, then it's much less certain. It's always one of those things in horary astrology. There are what we have in the past talked about as races, that there's a race for something to take place astronomically before something else takes place astronomically. And if there's a translation of light in process and something else intervenes, then that translation is not likely to be successful. If a benefic or two benefics are involved in the translation of light, that makes it even more certain that it's likely to happen. Obviously, the moon is the most likely translator of light, though any fast-moving planet can do it. Surprisingly, even sometimes something like Mars can be a translator of light. Now, again, the communication or what is translated has to be something that you see in the world. That unless you see that there are these people, and unless you see that there is some means of communication or something that is being communicated between them, it can even be money, you're grasping at straws. You can't let astrology be abstracted away from reality. If there is a translation of light, you have to look for the people involved in that translation of light so that you can bring it about. And you have to look about what is being communicated for it to be successful. All right? And the third and last thing that is argues for success is a collection of light. And a collection of light is when two planets are not an aspect. It doesn't make any difference whether there's application or separation. But they both aspect a slower, heavier planet than either of the two planets. That planet is called a collector. And then that collection, that person becomes a very important person for bringing the two parties together. And it in effect makes an aspect between them. This means that there is somebody like a negotiator or somebody like a respected intermediary. It can even be an enforcer in some cases, but it means that there is some person that is in a position of power, because lower moving planets, which are the collectors, are usually planets of power. It means that that person can bring into some kind of active relationship two people who are not otherwise in an active relationship. Obviously, again, primes being in the collection of light are more important. Well, because you don't want to be dealing with planets that aren't above question. The dignity and character of the collector is important, and it may even signify how the person is supposed to be approached. Planets from Saturn out are the most likely. Minor aspects, like the 150-degree aspect, sometimes they work, but when they do, there's all kinds of complications or interesting circumstances. Now, the people who are brought together by the collector may not even know those both of them and knows how to influence them in the community. All right. And that is conditions that are likely to mean success, but not certain. First among them, the prioritization on these is kind of iffy. I tried to put them in prioritized order, but it isn't certain. And when we get to some of the last of these conditions, we're really grasping at straws. For mentioning them, and maybe that may be. But what happens is when you get involved with Harari horoscopes, you look at them and you try to look for an answer. And sometimes it's very hard to find an answer. You have to go for a thing, you just can't say, I don't know. You could, but then you're out the door quickly and you really haven't done anybody any good. You haven't helped them at all by saying, I don't know. So you can see that something is more likely or less likely. How you determine what is more likely or less likely is a matter of prioritized conditions. All right, these are the conditions that are likely but not certain. Reception. Reception is when two planets, hopefully at least one of them is a prime, if they're both prime, so much better, if they are in each other's sign of rulership. That is called mutual reception. If one located planet is in the other's sign of rulership, but the other is not, that is a partial, or it's a simple reception. And in such a circumstance, person who rules the sign that the other one is in has some control. They hold the cards, they hold the trump cards in such a case. If two planets are in each other's sign of exaltation, that's a much lesser mutual reception. Because rulership isn't so involved. There's some kind of influence, but not a lot. A lesser partial or a lesser simple reception. The meaning of reception is that one or the other is favorably attuned to the other's needs or to the character of the other. If there's a mutual, there are often reciprocal needs. Some kind of mechanism that once that gets going, it's pretty hard to stop it. Usually there's some kind of a special dynamic between the people. And mutual receptions are often tracked situations. You have to be careful sometimes of mutual receptions, even mutual lesser reception exaltations, because sometimes that routine turns into like a runaway on you, and people get into something. And, you know, they're off and running. Hopefully, it should be among primes, and if there is an aspect between the two planets, it doesn't necessarily even have to be pleasant, some kind of engagement that is going to produce some kind of result out of this is almost unstoppable. And if planetary opposites are involved, it becomes much stronger. Now, I don't know any about anti-receptions. That is when there are planets in each other's detriment signs. I am assuming from general experience with astrology that there is more of a connection, though the connection may not be pleasant. is pseudo-collection or pseudo-translation. In pseudo-collection, it's the same as regular collection, only the planet is not necessarily a slower planet or a more powerful planet than either of the two other planets. It's just that they happen to aspect it, and they're holding on to the aspect long enough, and so that, you know, the two planets are still faster, so that it is possible that there could be a translation. But that third planet, even though not a really fast planet, it holds the connection between the other two long enough to get something about. In pseudo-translation, the translator aspects one of the planet, but the one of the three planets involved enters a different house or a different sign before the translation can be completed. And you don't know for certain whether that translation of light is going to be a successful translation of light. Because any time there's a border, either a sign border or a house border, especially a house border, you don't, you know, all bets are off at that point. If there is a pseudo-translation or a pseudo-collection of light, it's much better if all three planets involved form some kind of an aspect pattern, like a T-square or a 360-degree triangle or something like that. The meaning, or what you look for in the world, is that the translator or the collector is not most fit for the job, but it's more like they have an accidental ability to bring something about. Usually, if it's a pseudo-translation or collection, the collector or the intermediary person is an interesting kind of a person. Retrogrades. If there are retrogrades, there are all kinds of combinations. Sometimes retrograde combinations, when there are two of the three planets involved, are retrograde, it makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't. I just can't give all the cases because we're here in a minute. Mutual deposition. That is when two planets are located in houses that are ruled by the other, but they are not in the sign ruled by the other. This has not so much to do with them being having a common disposition as having a common set of circumstances. Like the circumstances might be that they're involved in a labor situation. If it's between the second and the sixth houses, there may not be a reception between two planets, but the planet in the second house, meaning somebody in the raw materials side of things or in capital side of things, has control of the circumstances over labor. You see those kinds of situations right now in a tight economy. Labor unions are asked to give up raises and things like that in order to be solvent. So mutual deposition is a matter of circumstances and not a matter of attitude. Again, it's important that primes be involved with it, and I don't know anything about partials. That is, where one planet rules the house that another planet is in without ruling the sign. Obviously, that planet has some part of something to do with the circumstances of the other, but I don't know how strongly influential it is. I don't think that's a thing as anyway. That's a person should have the intuition so that they can tell for themselves what is what. All right, the last in this category, I think this is the last in this category. Yes. Any strong lunar aspect to one of the other primes is likely to indicate success. And with this, that the time is ripe. And unsuspected crime is often befuddled by what happens. You say that things come about and a person can't understand why, not understanding the rightness of the other person or not understanding through the circumstances of the other person. If there is a strong lunar aspect and it's separating, something has just happened to the person signified by the aspect of prime. Something's just happened and the circumstances have changed. They may be ripe enough yet, if the orb is small enough that you can bring something off, and it may not be. If it is applying, that person just can't dodge it. It's going to happen. Some other conditions, the person signified by the other prime, the one that is not being aspected by the moon, sometimes you may have to bring that person to rightness. You may have to persuade that person that this is the best thing for them. And, that's in cases where this isn't such a surefire thing. All right. Now we're getting down into la la land here. We're skating on thin ice. We're looking, I'll try and put these into an outline form the way I did with the others, but I'm not sure that I really would have time to do that because it's getting to the garden season and I'm having so many summer or something like that. We have so many things going. And it may end up being a little booklet of notes to satisfy one of our students in class that barely remains awake in the class. We were just talking about you. All right. These are modestly strong indications of success. How modest? I don't know. Self-deposition, especially if it is the signature of the person asking the question, that is the querent. The meaning is that a person knows his or her limits, and because they know themselves really well, they can bring something off. And the person is at home with himself enough so that they can succeed. If there are aspects, they represent proficiencies that the self-positive person has, or the challenge that there are to the talents of the person. This has to be with a prime in order for this to be useful for completing the question. Sometimes cusping for self-deposition is enough. Like if Mars is just about to enter Aries, that might be enough for it to be considered self. If combined with something else, the dignity becomes much stronger. Deposition. I'm talking about the house deposition. Dignity is the disposition. That's the next one in line. In dignity, the individual has a feel for themselves, for what's going on. And the person has the right attitude, not necessarily the right talent or proficiency as it was with the deposition, but the right attitude regardless to self. Or with dignity, the person is in touch with the times. They are in a season of themselves. All right, now we're getting down into the rarer. The tenth condition is harmonious or appropriate moon phase. The factors are when the moon is going from new to waxing, it is appropriate for questions. It is appropriate for taking action. It is appropriate for initiating. It is appropriate for outputting. is going from full to new, that is what it is, waning, it's a time for answers. It's also a time to be more receptive or more passive about things. Also, it's a time to be more contemplative and absorbing or abstracting or things like that. If there is an aspect between the sun and the moon, whether the moon is always a prime, whether the sun is a prime or not, things increase greatly, especially if there is an eclipse. There's an eclipse for every question, and the sun is not one of the primes. That may overshadow everything else of the other primary significators. Solar-lunar factors may, solar-lunar relationships may affect other things, such as distance. Last time we were talking about distance. The further the moon is away from the sun, the more likely the ecliptic is to be away from time in question. Further than the sun, more likely to be the essence away from the earth. Factor is called telegraphing, and it is usually lunar. And if you remember from the list of all the negatives, telegraphing is the opposite of impedition, or the inverse of impedition. That is, when a luminary is applying to a benefic aspect with a planet or a fixed star, meaning to say that there is something good coming up rather than something ahead where the sun and the moon is coming up to a negative aspect with a negative fixed star. But if a luminary, sun or moon, is coming to a positive aspect with a positive planet or positive fixed star, the benefic being the greater benefic being Jupiter, the lesser being Venus, that is favorable. There have to be, usually there have to be plural benefic aspects. If there is that, then it becomes more sure. You know, like sort of like saying the moon is first going to trine Jupiter, and after that, sextile Venus, that sort of has like a domino effect, and so telegraphing works in that way. What this means is there's going to be a series or a single helpful event that may not bear directly on the question, unless it is the moon, and that will help bring something positive apart. Now we're getting into areas again that are classical, some of which I don't have a lot of experience with. And this is a classical term that is not too much used these days, I guess, except by horary astrologers and horary astrologers that follow within this field, whether in this culture or those people. Familiarity. Familiarity is the inverse of besiegement, if you remember the list of negatives with the besiegement in it. The moon is between, there are several levels. The highest level of surety or of familiarity is when the moon is between conjunctions of two benefic planets. That is, if the moon had just conjuncted Mars and was just about to conjunct the sun, which is in the trine, which makes it a benefic planet, that is the highest order of familiarity. if the moon is between any benefic aspects of with any benefic planets, that is the second level of familiarity. And the third level of familiarity is if the moon is between benefic aspects with any planets. Remember when we talked about time, we said that the moon is always the timekeeper. And the last aspect the moon made indicates the last thing that happened previous to the question asked. And the next aspect that the moon makes is the next thing that's going to happen with regard to that question or that event. Of course, in familiarity, things like dignities and expectations and dispositions and depositions increase things. We're talking about adding on to say something is more likely or less likely. We're getting into fine gradation, but it's important because sometimes the likelihood of something happening and the likelihood of something not happening are very close. And in order to judge correctly, you have to get into fine line distinction, get into the grayscale. The meaning of familiarity usually is something that the person in question, whether it is the querent or whether it is the questioned, but it's usually the querent, that person is on a roll. And because they're on a roll, things are going to work for them whether they deserve it by their talents or not. And the last in this level of category is when any one of the primes or all of the primes are in good relations to benefits. They're in good relations first by aspect, that's good, and next by house deposition, finally by sign disposition. It just means that people are in a good place. They're in the good conditions. They're feeling lucky. Positive things are positive in general, but they're not necessarily on a roll. And the positive attitude is enough to bring it about. Right. Now we're really in la la land. Hold on, we still have some more of these yet. All right. This is almost embarrassing. Angular and accidental dignity. Again, in classical astrology terms, the angles are first, fourth, seventh, and the tenth. And they represent four acute stages of definition. For example, if you're going on a trip, you do a horary for a trip, the first house represents conditions at the start of the trip. The seventh house indicates some conditions along the way.